I talked with a young man who was heading into trouble, and I admonished him about the thing that he was proposing to do, and I used that scripture. And as the Bible says that you sow to the wind and you'll reap the whirlwind. Well, he went right on and did what he had in mind to do, and that's where he is tonight. He just in a lot of trouble and reaping the whirlwind. It always comes back with greater force than what we put it out with. Now, I want to turn our thoughts to the last verse in the last chapter of 2 Peter. This is the closing out of Peter's writings in the New Testament. He wrote two epistles, 1 and 2 Peter, 5 chapters in the first and 3 in the second. 8 chapters in all. And he concludes his writings with a statement that's just as important as any of the other things he said. And that is, grow in grace. But grow in grace. And I want to take up his little thought here and talk a little bit tonight about spiritual growth and development. It's God's will that you and I grow, and he has furnished us the mechanics to grow with, all the essentials necessary for spiritual growth. The basis of it is in his word, and the development of it is in our everyday experiences of life. And it's through the experiences of life and the word, the principles of truth being applied to our lives and our lives' experiences that we make our progress in the Lord. That we experience spiritual growth. It is important that we grow. You take a plant that ceases to grow. Now you take a thriving plant and you have to keep cutting it back all the time. It'll just grow all the way to nowhere. It would grow to. But it's a thriving plant. But let that plant cease to grow and pretty soon it will be dead. When it ceases to grow. That's the way with you and me. The way with our lives. Let us cease to grow spiritually and we'll soon be dead spiritually. If a person is really growing in the Lord, he'll find no dull moments in his experience. There'll be new developments and new things happening all the time with him. And new revelations from God. Let us never settle down on the fact that we have the truth. But let us keep expanding and growing and reaching out for a greater understanding of that truth and a greater application of that truth in our lives. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now Jesus gave us a lesson like this in the 13th chapter of Matthew, verses 31 and 32. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the earth. Then he followed up with a specific. He said, it is the smallest of seeds. But when it is grown, it becomes the greatest among herbs." And in another place, he mentioned, I believe that might be in Luke, he mentioned that it became a tree that the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. That mustard seed, the smallest of seed. God gave us another lesson like this, the second chapter of Daniel, verses 34 and 35, where he is introducing the thought of the kingdom of God in contradistinction to four other major universal kingdoms that Nebuchadnezzar had seen in his vision. Daniel's explaining this to him. And he said, "You saw in your dream till a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it smote this image on its feet, rolled right on over this image, ground it to powder, and it became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." In explaining this, Daniel said, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." The kingdom of God was that little stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands. The writer of the Hebrew epistle spoke of this great church of God, the body of Christ, the holy temple of the Lord, in this dispensation of time, that Christ was the minister of a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. The temple wasn't like that temple they had. It wasn't of that building and of that substance, but it was made without hands. Jesus explained what that was. He said that this would be established and be set up upon this rock. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus was the one that built the greater and more perfect tabernacle that wasn't made with hands. In other words, men never had anything to do with building that tabernacle. He built it. Upon this rock I will build my church. That is what Daniel was talking about. that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that was Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. And he rolled and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now these scriptures give me this thought. That spiritual growth is not so much a matter of you growing as it is just yielding yourselves to the principles and elements of the kingdom of God and letting them grow in you. The kingdom of God, the elements and principles of truth, do the growing and expanding in you. They just have a small beginning, just like a mustard seed or a small stone cut out of the mountain without hands. But as they come into your soul and you begin to yield your life to those elements and principles of truth that are the basics in the kingdom of God, they just grow and expand, and as they do, they crowd out everything out of your life and out of your heart that's contrary to those principles of truth, and just push on in and occupy that territory that has been vacated by crowding out those foreign elements out of your life. That's spiritual growth. That is something that must forever continue as long as you live in this world. The Apostle Paul said, though the outward man perish, and as we come on down in our age and advance to an advanced age in life, the outward man will begin to perish. It began to weaken. We'll become subject to the handicaps and the experiences of age. But though that happened to us, he said the inward man is renewed day by day. That's what we need to be concerned about. I said to one brother that I visited, and I hadn't seen him for many years, but I was in the country where he was living, and I went to visit him. And I had understood that there had been some degree of variation in his lifestyle and in his spiritual perspectives. Well, I didn't know that for sure, but when I went to leave him, I said, "Brother, I want to admonish you about one thing." I said, "You're getting older now. And as you get older, the natural forces begin to abate. You don't have the strength that you had when you were younger. You don't have the capabilities that you had when you're younger. And there is a tendency to just let down." Well, that's what we do. We just kind of let down. But I said, remember that there's a close relationship between the soul and the body. And one has a strong effect on the other. So if you don't watch, when you reach that stage in life, if you don't watch, your spiritual life will follow the trend of your physical life, and you'll be letting down and succumbing to things there. And letting go of your zeal and your earnestness and so on in the service of God. I said, don't ever let it happen. Just remember that Though the outward man perish, and while it is perishing, that the inward man is renewed day by day. And keep up your renewal. The way we keep up our renewal is by diligent observance of our Christian duties. Reading God's Word, praying, communicating with God, responding to all of God's dealings with our souls, and walking in the light and measuring up to the truth. It's a full-time job, but it'll keep your renewal up, and there'll be no dull moments. Every day is a new day, and it's full of freshness. If you're keeping up to date with God, every day is full of freshness. And you'll find some development and some growth every day of your life. If you're keeping pace with God. He said in the first Psalm, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law doth he meditate day and night." He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now isn't that prolific? Isn't that an abundant life? A fulfilled life? Now, he spoke about this man, his delight was in the law of the Lord. On his law doth he meditate day and night. That's one of the basics of spiritual growth. In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in verse 2, he says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." When we with relish, with appetite, with strong desire, receive God's word and meditate in it, he says you'll grow thereby. That's one of the elements on which we grow. Grow lax in your meditations, in your communications with God, and in your study of God's word, your application of God's word to your life, you'll stop your spiritual growth and you'll soon die. These are the things that adds vibrance to us and to our spiritual lives and fills our souls with joy and our lives with strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Desire. That's an important part of living for God, is desire. And you and I need to feed our desires, our spiritual desires, our desires for truth, for the things of God, and for living to His glory. Feed your desires for that. Keep your desires bright. Jesus said, "Whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." I've heard that text all of my life, I reckon. And I've used it in my preaching many, many, many times. Usually the emphasis has been on the believing. But I'm putting the real emphasis now on the desire. "Whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them." If your desire isn't very strong, your prayer is not going to be very strong. It'll not be very urgent. It'll not be very persistent. But if you've got a strong desire for something, you can pray, and if it doesn't happen, you'll be back praying again. And if it doesn't happen yet, you'll add some fasting with your prayers, and you'll be back fasting and praying and seeking God for this particular thing. And you'll keep on coming. The song said, just pray on till the answer comes. You'll not give in or give out or give up or give down. You'll just keep coming and keep coming. Jesus spoke about, he gave us a parable like that, that men ought to always pray and not faint. And the parable was in regards to a poor widow woman and an unjust judge. And the unjust judge wouldn't give any consideration to the poor widow woman's appeal to be avenged of her adversary. So she just kept coming and kept coming and just camped on his doorstep, and everywhere he turned there was that woman, and she was there with the same petition. And finally he said, this woman's worrying me, and because she's worrying me, I'm going to avenge her of her adversaries. Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry unto him day and night? Folks, desire is a driving force. It's an urgent something. If you and I want spiritual growth, we must desire it. If we want to make spiritual progress and be strengthened in the Lord and live victoriously and triumphantly, we must have strong desire for that. And when we pray, we must have strong desire for what we're praying. And desire enough to drive us back to our place of prayer again and again and again. Men ought to always pray and not faint. I'm talking about ways and means of advancing spiritually. Growing in grace. He didn't say grow into grace. He just said grow in grace. You don't grow into grace. You get into the grace of God by humbling your heart and repenting of your sins and believing in Christ as your Savior and your only Savior, and putting your faith in the merits of His shed blood for the forgiveness of sins and for every other favor that you ever get from God, and that only, nothing else. That's the way you get in grace. After you get in grace, you're on growing grounds. Grow in grace. Increase in the things of God. How often I pray for you and me, myself and my brethren, that God will enrich our lives with the divine virtues and graces of God. Just keep adding those things. Peter gives us an urgent admonition in the second chapter, I believe, of 2 Peter. Oh, I believe it's the first chapter of 2 Peter. He says, giving all diligence, add. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance godliness, and godliness patience, and patience brotherly kindness. Just keep adding. Adding grace to grace, and adding grace upon grace. Just increasing your graces in every category and all along the line. Just keep adding. Brother George Harmon used to use that text and preach it as the seven-story and basement Christian life is adding one story on another, one thing on top of another, and just keep on building. Well, Jesus taught us about building too. And Jude taught us about building. Paul taught us about building. Your Christian life is a building. I saw an unfinished building once that had about $500,000 sunk in it. And they just abandoned it. And there it sat out there. John Ringling had started a $1 million hotel on Sarasota Island in Florida. I was visiting my brother down there, and I drove down past this place. There it was, the building materials and rubbish and everything all out there, and the building just abandoned because the boom broke. And he was up there in New York and in contact with some of those big real estate men that were promoting this real estate boom in Florida. And he got knowledge that things were going to break down there, and he fired a wire down to his supervisor on that job and said, stop everything. And they just stopped it right where it was and had about $500,000 sunk in it. An unfinished building. Jesus spoke about that too. And a lot of people have that kind of buildings. But He wants you and me to carry on our building project to its conclusion and get all the stories on it and get a roof on the top of it and make our calling and election sure with God. Just keep building and building and building, one story upon another story, and then adding another story. Add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge and on. Just keep building. Spoke about a man that started to build and he hadn't counted the cost and he wasn't able to finish and people mocked him and said, this man began to build and wasn't able to finish. He didn't want that to happen to you and me. He wanted us to keep going clear on to the finish line and get the final inspection on our building. In the fourth chapter of Malachi, in the second verse, it said, unto you that fear my name shall a son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That's beautiful, isn't it? A calf in the stall presents a beautiful picture. That's where they raise and produce the animals for the stock shows, wins the prize in the stock shows and the fairs. When they're going to enter an animal in a stock show, they don't just go out on the range and pick up one out there. He might be pretty fat, that fella out there on the range. If the range is good, he might be pretty fat. But there's some other things about it besides just fat that makes a prize animal. You'll go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Now, a person that's going to produce a prize-winning animal or even one to contest for a prize, he gets that fellow when he's just a little fellow. He never lets him hit the range. He just puts him in the stall and he begins to feed him good. And he feeds him good all the way through. Feeds him the best of the feed. Well, God said He'd feed us on the best of the wheat. He'll feed us the best there is. And if He can somehow keep you and me with a good appetite for truth, And for the principles of the Word of God that govern and direct our lives, He'll just bring forth a beautiful something out of us. Now I'm told that there's something that good feed does for an animal besides just put meat on his bones and put fat on him. Fill him out. But it'll put oil in his hair. It'll put a shine on him. You take an animal that's been fed real good on the best of the feed, you can curry that animal down. Process like that for you and me. He just feeds our souls on the best of the wheat. The best He has, He gives to the saints. We have access to God's very best. And then He's got a kind of a buffing process that He puts us through the little ordinary circumstances of life and things that happen to us and people that don't treat us right and say bad things about us and slight us and one thing and another, just curring us down. But if we've just been eating at the feed trough of the Lord and the very best of the feed, it'll just bring out a gloss on us. It'll just put shine in our countenance. I remember one brother, he said that his wife gave him such a bad time. And or she was at sword's points with him the biggest part of the time over his religion. And she didn't see things like he did. And she wasn't willing to let him see things like he did. She threatened to put him in the state hospital, the insane asylum, and did a lot of obnoxious things to him. Well, he bucked at it. And it just went on, and finally he decided he wasn't getting anywhere bucking at it, so he said it was going on one day, and he just squared his shoulders, so to speak, and stood up straight on both feet, and in his heart he said, "All right, devil, you rub and I'll shine." Well, the devil did rub and he did shine. I didn't know him at that time. I knew him in later years. And he was shining for God. He just buffed out the shine on him. And he'd been fed on the best of the wheat. And right on through that experience, he was just feeding his soul and meditating on God's Word and increasing with the increase of God. And he just came out shining. Folks, the good news I tell you is that you can grow regardless of what your conditions are if your attitude's right toward God and toward the truth, toward His Word. You can grow right on and increase with the increase of God. Now He said, "To you that fear My name shall a Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." After you've been healed. After the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, with His grace and His glory, has risen upon you and wrought His work in you and healed you of the infirmities and defects and handicaps in your soul that hinder your growth and stunt your growth, you can go forth then as and grow up. But many times we need some healing before we can grow. We have all seen people that had experiences with diseases that left them weak in some part of their body and stunted their growth. Polio is one. A polio victim, if they survive, that's likely to settle in some part of their body, and that part won't go ahead and develop. It'll just shrivel up. And it'll be left weak. And we see people pining away with cancer and tuberculosis and diseases of one kind and another that are slow deaths to people. And we see them wasting away and pining away. Well, we feel sorry for them folks. We sympathize with them. We get burdened about them. We pray for them. We fast and pray for them. But similar things can get wrong with people's souls. Attitudes, feelings, dispositions, things that stunt people's growth, hinder them in their spiritual development. And in their spiritual lives, people just need healing. We see somebody warped all out of shape with crippling arthritis. I've seen them that they hardly looked human. I saw one woman, her chin was drawn right tight down against her chest, and her hand was turned around out there like it hardly looked like a hand, and her body was all deformed, and it was a pitiful sight. I visited that woman, and before I left her, I said, "Lady, you surely must be in a lot of pain in your condition." But I says, "You're a very cheerful woman to be in the condition that you're in." You know what she did? She just smiled and she said, she couldn't look up. She was drawn down like that. She had to look at me in a mirror all the time to see what I looked like. She said, "Oh, why, certainly," says, "God's just been wonderful to me." He said, "I don't have anything to complain about." You know, I went out of there, my head dragging, and I said, "Lord, help me." She didn't have anything to complain about. And I thought she was in a dreadful condition. But she wasn't thinking about her condition. She was just testifying to the goodness of God. A marvel of divine grace. Another case is Murphy Allen. That man's in a pitiful condition. I went to see him a while back. Last spring, I guess it was, when I was back in Oklahoma. He's in a pitiful condition and suffers almost unbearable pain at times. But Evelyn and I have phoned back there numbers of times and talked with him and his wife, and maybe we talk 20 minutes or 25 minutes, quite a little while. He has very little to say about his condition. The most of his talks just about the goodness of God and how good God's been to him and how merciful the Lord's been and all of that, and kind of makes me hang my head again. Well, folks, every one of us can have a hold on God like that if we'll just develop. If we'll just submit to God and humble our hearts and let God work His works in us to willing to do of His good pleasure and heal us of the attitudes and feelings and different things that warp and twist our body, our souls all out of shape, and that stunt our growth. Just let the Lord heal us of those things and make us happy in Him and raise us up on high and set us on top of everything. Till we're not repining about what somebody said to me or about me or how somebody treated me or all of that. The Lord told me one time, said, none of your business how people treat you. I wasn't being treated very good right at that time. And I was kind of bucking at it inside of me. The Lord says, it's none of your business how you people treat you. And I said, my, this is me. Yeah, but He said, it's no matter to you how people treat you. You can't expect people to treat you right all the time anyway. It says, when you come up before me at the judgment, there'll not be one thing said to you about how so-and-so treated you. It'll be, how did you treat them? Folks, we need to be healed of some things in our spiritual lives, in our souls. Things that are stunting our growth and hindering our progress and limiting the grace of God in us. The Son of Righteousness can heal us if we'll just submit to Him and let Him work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. In the 92nd Psalm, verses 12 to 14, He said that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God, in conveying the thought to you and me of spiritual growth and development, He picked out the tree that gained the highest height and the tree that gained the broadest breadth. Says you'll be just like them. Grow up and out too. Expand and increase along every line in our Christian experience, every area of our lives. Just grow up and out. Then He said, they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now the key thought here is the word, they that be planted. Now, God is the one who does the planting. And when God plants a soul in His house, He said, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And when He adds one to the church, plants them in there, Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, against the church. Now, people that just say, well, I like these people better than any other people I've found up to now, so I'm going to settle down here till I find something better. I've seen a number of them. You have too, but they didn't stick. They didn't stay. They just moved on out. But when a person has had an experience with God and Jesus Christ has been revealed to his soul, and an experience has been wrought in his heart that God wrought, that made him eligible to be planted in the house of the Lord, and God planted him in there, you've got a person that's hard to move there. He's got a revelation from God in his soul. That's what we need, folks. It will not carry us through to just pattern after the saints. That's all right to pattern after the saints, but you need some convictions of your own. You need some dealings with God yourself. And to engage in some actual negotiations between you and God personally and individually. Not just because the saints do this or the saints do that, but we need some revelation from God in our own soul. And some convictions of our own that if the saints don't do this or the saints don't do that, we'll do this or that anyway because God revealed it to me that that's what he wants me to do. We're all individuals before God anyway. God deals with every one of us as individuals. We have the idea that God deals with everybody just alike. Well, there is a sense in which he does in one realm, but there's another sense in which he doesn't in another area of our personal lives and our relationships with him. He may deal with every one of us in a different way. Now, I'm not talking about standards, established and fixed standards. I'm talking about God's dealings with our souls as to our relationship with him and how we're living before him and how he wants us to live as individuals. And in that sense, he may deal with every one of us differently. Let us never get the idea if God dealt with me about this, he's going to deal with everybody else just like he did with me. That isn't the case. It doesn't work out that way. But some things affect people in a different way to what those same things affect other people. And if God sees that this thing's going to affect you, he'll deal with you about that. He might not deal with somebody else about that same thing. But as he plants us in the house of the Lord and he begins to cultivate us and fertilize us and irrigate us and work with us, he said, they'll flourish in the courts of our God. They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Just a flourishing, prolific growth and development. They didn't plant themselves there. They didn't join up with the folks. They didn't say, I like these people pretty good and I'm just going to settle down here. But they actually got an experience with God, and God settled them right down in their experience and planted them right into the house of the Lord and established them in their experience. And they just grow right on off and just flourish. I've seen people that got a hold of God in a way when they come to the truth, that they just outran everybody that had been there before them. And it stuck. They just went right on, continuing to run this race and live this life and live victoriously and triumphantly. They got a hold of something. One sister that came to the saints, She heard a message one night on the church. In that meeting, there were two or three special messages on the church. But as she listened to this message on the church, God revealed the church to her. She got a vision of it. A real bright, clear vision. A long while after that, after she'd been with the saints quite a while, she said, "Brother Wilson," said, "I wish if the Lord had ever let you, that you'd preach that message just like you preached it that night." Said, "I saw something beautiful there. And I got a hold of something there that's blessed my soul ever since." Well, that woman was just out and going and outrunning the saints that had been there for years and years. Just growing and had a prolific growth in the things of God. There's just one end to the experience of growing in grace. It's like one music professor said about the study of music. He said the study of music just has one end, and that's the beginning. There's no other end to it. That's the way with growing in grace. It just has one end, and that's the beginning. From there on, the sky's the limit. Just keep going and growing and increasing all along in your life. A prolific growth. God has willed to you and me an experience that will produce a prolific and bountiful growth and development in our Christian experience and furnished us with the mechanics to accomplish it and bring it to pass. And all we need to do is walk humbly with our God and keep our hearts and minds open to Him to lead us and to work with us according to His own good pleasure, both to will and to do. And let Him have His way with us. Let us walk in the light, measure up to the truth, respond to all God's dealings with our souls. And our Christian development and growth is assured. Amen.